What the old song said, we gather together to share the Lord's pleasure. That's why we gather, isn't it? It's to share the Lord's pleasure, to be a part of what God is doing. I think about having read the, and I can't remember the name of the book, but it's a book about the church in China and how they would gather. And then there's that movie of them, you know, and they'd be behind closed doors with a candle in the middle. They can't speak out loud because somebody will catch them, but they're making a ruckus, you know, when they get together. What a joy and what a pleasure for them to be together, just to be together. You know, and I always remember when Vicki and I were in an elevator one time and there was a nurse, and I don't know if I had on a T-shirt that said something, or we were just praising God, and that nurse just, oh, it's so good to have other believers. We were closed in an elevator, and it was so good to have other believers around, you know. And it is good. It is good, you know. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Yeah, we're a little hesitant about that. But, you know, God is good. The Lord is good. You think about they talk about the early church, and they would have a sort of a signal, you know. And part of the fingers crossed was they were one, as I understand it. They were, you know. Now, I hesitate to that fingers crossed thing until I remember those things. And I think, well, but a lot of people are crossing their fingers because they don't know God. They're knocking on wood because they don't know God. They don't really know any better. And they would probably, sometimes those folks would be the most adamant, you don't know everything, you know. You're not perfect. Absolutely, I am not. But if we will do as Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in us. If we will remember the Lord our God. If we will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. If we say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, you know, that's what needs to be opened, is the eyes of our heart. So that we can see beyond what we can see and see to where our heart knows. Our hearts were made by God. And last week sometime I was reading again about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And you know, Elijah said, okay, let's get this thing over with. Let's see if God is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. Get your crowd together. We're going to offer sacrifice. And you can go first. You know, and it's really funny. It's funny to look at that and the thing. Elijah said, but maybe he's sleeping. Or maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe, you know, you better yell louder, you know. Because, you know, get him to act. And they had all kinds of things. What's interesting is I don't think that they ever got him to act before. I doubt that their cutting themselves ever did them any good. It just made them think it did them good. And so Elijah gave them a chance to put up or shut up. Let's show us what he can do, you know. And so it's that going on. And, you know, you kind of see, I don't think they had nail files in, but Elijah kind of watching, smiling once in a while, you know, waiting, just waiting for the, okay, now let's get mine ready. And he made it as hard as he possibly could, you know, because he didn't have any doubt about his God. He was certain that God was going to answer him, because I think that he knew the plan in the first place. That doesn't mean that we need to go out and build campfires and call people around because we're going to have God call down fire. But I think it does mean that we should be willing if God says, let's show them something. You know? Our prayers might be, I don't want to do that, Lord. You know? That's a big step of faith. But anyway, he does. God does show up. God does burn up the offering. And it says that the people, when the people, and when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and they cried out, "The Lord, He is God." Yes, the Lord is God. And when they all saw it, they cried out. When they all saw it, when they saw it, you know, the thing is that we see it, they saw it, we know that they saw it, and it became a historical event. You know? Just as we talked about Pentecost. Now Pentecost is like 3 weeks away, I think, you know. And it's presented, we talked about this Sunday down at the auditorium, it's presented in the most cases like it was a historical fact. Like it's not a today fact. Like God doesn't do stuff like that anymore. And when you're baptized as a baby, you have the Holy Spirit. You know, it's misrepresented. Pentecost was real. It was the real deal, and the difference was is when Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, the people responded to the Holy Spirit. And they made such a display that they were accused of being drunk. You know, it wasn't like it was, nothing happened. Something happened, but they had to dispel it. They had to try to calm it. But when Peter started speaking, and the power of God, and he just very kindly, I think kindly, I don't know, he told them, "You killed Jesus." That's a hard thing to be accused of. Let me clarify. You killed the Messiah you were waiting for. But it touched their hearts. It touched their hearts so much that they became desperate. So what do we do now? What do we do now? We all have "what do we do now" moments. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what to do. What are we going to do now? And Peter just said, "Well, just repent. Be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll take care of everything." And 3,000 people said, "I will." 3,000 were added to their number that day. Just like that. Because God bears witness with their spirit. And we need only to trust God to bear witness to the truth. And so we have these gifts in these earthen vessels to tell the truth. You know, to be and to do what God wants us to be and to do, and to understand that He wants us to be and He wants us to do. Not a few, but all. Go into all the world. All of you go into all the world. All of you go, you know? And so we need to just keep looking through that glass darkly and cleaning the smudge a little bit more all the time. And letting the Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit. Because when we see, we declare Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord when everything is great. And He's Lord when everything is falling apart. And He's as close as the mention of His name anytime and all the time. And it doesn't take much time to mention His name. They all cried, you know. When we see we need to hold on, hold fast to the truths, the Bible says. Hold on to them. Remember them. You know, like I said in the devotional, I wish I could say that I always read the Bible interactively. But I don't. Sometimes I just read it. And sometimes I have to speak to myself and say, okay, let's get into this. There's no sense in you wasting God's time. My time I can waste, but not his time, you know? And so we're reminded of these things, reminded of these things, reminded of these things. So when I read this, I was interactive when I read this last time. I had this one right, and I was yahooing right with them. I was just imagining that there was a, you know, I was just imagining. When they saw it, they fell down and they worshiped God. You know, there are things that happen all around us that if we just practice responding to them like they were from God on a regular basis, you know. I mean, my wife has taught me to look at the sky. And I do. Sometimes I step out on the step and I just look up. I say, whoa. And I give God the glory that he deserves, or at least the best I can do that he deserves for what he made. You know? And if he made that, then he made everything and he is everything that he says that he is. And he did come down on fire on that. And they bowed down and they said, whoa, the Lord, he is God. The Lord is he is God. Sometimes we just need to let it loose. You know? Sometimes we need to break out of our shell, our self-control. Isn't it interesting? We have self-control about God. But we don't have self-control if the dog goes where I don't want her to go. Because I've got to get control. Sometimes early in the morning, sometimes, you know, I don't whistle a lot. I just whistle once. I want her to hear that because I don't want to wake up the neighborhood. You know, but we practice, we're reserved when it comes to things about God. But you know, right now, if you ever pay any attention to basketball, you know, Caitlin Clark's name is everywhere. She has turned the WNBA into the place to be. And so everybody's excited about her. And she's a sweet gal, and I think she loves Jesus and all of that, you know. But it's just amazing to see little girls, little boys, adults, just wanting to get her autograph or just cheering for her or buying her jersey, you know. And they don't, you know, there's a reaction to her. Nobody goes to the games. Nobody stands outside the gymnasiums, you know, just controlling themselves, you know. One thing that we were probably told when we were growing up, control yourself. Or behave yourself. And we apply that one selectively. You know? All I'm saying is these people had been worshiping Baal right up to that point. Most of them were Baal worshipers. Many of them were people who shouldn't have been Baal worshipers, but they had been seduced into Baal worship. They had just been hypnotized into what everybody else does. And so Elijah gave them a shot at the real thing, and they quickly saw we're on the wrong side. Who is on the Lord's side? We are. There's nothing like fire coming down and just picking up the whole sacrifice to get everybody to get on the right side. We're on the Lord's side. And so when Elijah did that, like, I guess the thing that hit me was the response to the presence of God. What is our response to God? Is he okay? Is he for church? Is he for always, or is he not? Don't really think about him too much unless something comes up. Or is he, you know, you were always on my mind. Willie Nelson sang it, you know, and you look at the words, maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I should have. Maybe I didn't tell you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done. I'm sorry I was blind. He wasn't writing it to the Lord, but it was a call out. I need to make sure that he's always on my mind. He's the answer. He's the answer. He's the question. He's everything. Old country song said, "There goes my reason for living." He's my everything. We get mesmerized into everything else kind of becoming everything. You know? I mean, isn't that just a shouting time? That roof's still on at you guys' place? Woo! Big old rain like that. Big old rain like that. Oh, that's enough to make you want to climb up and just look at it, you know? But Levon's leg hurts and Bob doesn't like heights. But we just, you know it's working. You know it's secure, right? Because if it wasn't secure, you'd be putting buckets around. What a gift from God. What a wonderful, wonderful thing, you know? Thank the Lord. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not just big things. Little things. Nothing. For no good reason at all, we can praise the Lord. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. Yeah. He's the same one that burned up the sacrifice for Elijah. He's the Lord. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. God is here. Huh? How about that? You know? I mean, I know. I'm not trying to tell anybody to be like me. I'm just trying to encourage everybody to have eyes that see and respond to what we see. Last week there was an episode of Storm getting off of his rope, and he hung around, but he hung around kind of looking for Vicky's kittens. Vicky responded to that. She let him know in no uncertain terms that he better not do that anymore. I think she's soft and she gives him a treat, you know. But we responded to that. I sent the email out to everyone about Betty, Roger's wife. I responded to that. I didn't know how to respond to that. The pictures are not nice. And You know, I said I always knew. I mean, whenever I didn't hear from him for a long time, I thought they finally killed him or something, you know, because he would be out of touch, but he was out of touch, and then he would be back, and then I hadn't heard from him for a long time, and then in comes this phone call. Betty is no more. Huh? They killed her. What? For a bag of rice and some oil, which really had nothing to do with it. It had to do with the fact that they're Christians and the Muslims there hate them. Rogers has had the Mormons try to kill him. The Muslims try to kill him. And now they killed his wife. But the last thing she says to him is, don't give up your faith. Don't give up your faith. And so he's rejoicing in the Lord. And then he cries. Forgive me, Daddy, for crying. I said, don't need to be forgiven for crying. Rejoicing. You see, if we have eyes that see, we can rejoice. If we don't rejoice, what good does anything else do? Does it give us peace to be angry? Does it give us peace to be fearful? No, we don't get peace out of that. It doesn't wear off, it just comes up again and again. But if we rejoice in the Lord, when we rejoice, don't we get relief? Don't we? Doesn't the joy of the Lord, oh, maybe we don't feel empowered instantaneously, but there's a little something. There's sometimes when I'm trying to start my lawnmower, and I don't know if it's the compression or if it's my battery, but I'll turn in it. I just hold the key and all of a sudden then it'll, and it takes off and it's hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to go get my charger and get it put back on and try to figure out. And that's why I get more years out of my batteries than most people that just keep going. But you know, it's encouraging when there's at least a little, or like Bob and Levana, you know, encouraging when you, there's not water all over the floor. You know? Encouraging when it just slowed down, but now, you know, how great is that? You see, we have the opportunity to rejoice at all times. We have the opportunity, you know. We make a big deal out of nothing sometimes when it really is nothing. We can make a big deal. It doesn't have to be the sky opening up and fire coming down and taking out. We just can pray. We can just praise the Lord just because he's worthy. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. I don't know how long it lasted that it was good. We do know that Elijah, it took one day, and he was just depressed. I suppose he thought maybe that all the trouble was over then or something. I don't know, but oh, come on. I'm the only one left. No, there's 7,000 others. Well, I don't see him. You know, and now she wants to come and have me killed. Why am I even in this? And so God sent him off to rest and sent birds to feed him. And then after a while he said, now let's get going again. You know, but we've all made a big deal out of something that wasn't a big deal before. We've all got upset about things that sometimes we get upset about things we don't know anything about. And we spend more time thinking about those things that we get upset about than we do, you know, when we could just, praise the Lord, you know, Lord, we could. But we get locked in, and things just become big deals. You know, there's a box on my porch that I'm looking at, and I'm thinking it's about the right size to enter some junk off my office desk, put it in, it'll fit through the door, and I will have accomplished what I've been thinking about. You know, but I'm still thinking about it. I thought about it once before, and the box ended up outside. It got rained on, so I didn't have that box. But and I guess that the thing is that it's probably easier for me to walk through my office and say, praise God, I can get through. Clear paths for Rosie. But you know what we do? We do. It's like when in Romans when it said, if anyone says they have not sinned, they lie and they don't know the truth. You know? If you've never been unnecessarily upset about something, you are practically perfect. But we have all. We have all. And sometimes when you're unnecessarily upset about something, you spend a certain amount of time justifying that you're upset. Because then it's not unnecessary. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or just about when you're ready to forget about it, the enemy comes and, boop, try this one, and boom, right back up at it, you know. And that's just the way it is sometimes. But if we will remember the name of the Lord our God, If we would respond to Jesus with all of the energy that the thought of him or the presence of him stirs up in us, and we just let it go, hallelujah! You know? But we can't just be doing that all the time, can we? I don't know. I'm sure I don't do it all the time, but I do it as frequently as can be. You know, I always tell the story. John was on the roof with me. He's my witness. I hit my thumb and I just started shouting, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And the Lord just said, how come you have to hit your thumb before you do that? Well, I've always remembered that. I don't have to hit my thumb to do that. You know, in everything, give thanks. If that's what God gives us for an assignment, what if we just did what he said? You know, what if we didn't take the opportunity to be unnecessarily disturbed about something that our being disturbed doesn't make any difference about? It isn't going to change anything. What if we just took every opportunity, every little inspiration as an opportunity to praise God? What if we tried what he says? Because basically that's what Elijah said to these people. Okay, let's settle this. You decide. Let's find out. If God is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. We're going to settle this thing right now, forevermore. And they settled it, and we can't necessarily do the way they finally settled it, but they killed all of those prophets of Baal. They got rid of their influence. Those 400, but you know there were some behind them. There's always going to be something that comes along that tries to steal your godly focus. There's always going to be something to test. There's always going to be something to try us. There's always going to be something, because Jesus said there's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. Don't think there's never going to be something. There's always going to be something. And let me give you something to do with that something. Rejoice. I've already overcome it. And if you come to something that seems like too much, and you're willing to take a moment to say, this too, that too. I got it. God's got it. You see, as we become people who know God's got it, we become people that can encourage others that God's got it. You have the words. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. We don't have to be perfect to spread the perfect news, to encourage others with the perfect. We don't have to come off as perfect. We don't have to claim we're perfect. We just have to know that we know the one who is. And be built up in our faith by that. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let it just be a jolly moment to say, I don't have a clue, but I know the one that do. You know? He's the one that says, come unto me, all you are weak and heavy laden. So if somebody's weak and heavy laden, you say, hey, I got a place for you. I got a place for you. I got a place for you. You don't have to carry that all by yourself. We have our wonderful, wonderful Lord, who is our blessed Prince of Peace. Paul told Timothy the best way to succeed was to stay stirred up. You know, don't boxers, they always tell them, don't let your guard down. You let your guard down, somebody's going to knock your head off. You know, keep that guard up. Well, keep yourself stirred up, and even if you're knocked down, you can smile and wave. I remember a different episode in my life, one time where I kept asking a guy what his name was, and he took exception to that, knocked me down. I was not in good condition. It wasn't a holy moment. But I was just getting up when he kicked me in the head. And then he sat on me. And he was a good fighter. He was a street fighter. Boom, 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 boom. He said, have you had enough? I said, all I want to know is your name. He said, you're crazy. Walked away. Years later, I was helping unload that band's equipment, and the guy he said, would you please hit me? Would you please hit me? Well, by then, I was a new creature in Christ. I said, I wouldn't have hit him anyway. He was bigger than me, and I wasn't a fighter. Would you please hit me? It had been bothering him for years, that guy that he rolled outside the bar and hit and kicked, and I said, I'm sure I had it coming. You know? But I did one thing right. I just said, all I want to know is your name. I think maybe it went past him. It went to Jesus, and I found Jesus. You see, God is just so good. He's so much bigger, so much better, so much full of joy, so much full of provision, protection. So he's just so much. God is just so much. And we've only had glimpses, but the glimpses that we have in the Bible and the glimpses that he gives us in our own lives, if we were looking, if we had eyes to see, if we just asked the Lord, Lord, where were you? You know, I've shared, I repeat myself, but I mean, he said, I was always there for you. And he started with when I was a kid and had a bad dream. And I saw a mechanic in my bedroom. It wasn't a mechanic, it was an angel. But we didn't have any reference to angels in our family. But this glowing white person was in the corner. He was there. When chandeliers, 10 times as big as these, began to swing as I sang in a church in Aberdeen, he said, I was there. That's where I anointed you for music. He was there. He was there. He was there when I took drugs. He was there. He was there on the back wall of where we started meeting in the west wing of the auditorium. He was there. He's there always. And every now and then I remember other times where, I should have seen that. But I didn't have eyes to see. And I think that we've all got times when we didn't have eyes to see. And we've all got times when we intentionally don't even look. We got all that, but we aren't going to get away from His love. And so let's just tell Him sometimes, the Lord, He is God. Lord, You are God. I know You're not hard of hearing, but I just want to hear loud, Lord, You are God, you know. I know, I'm loud. But it's okay for us to, it's okay with me anyway. So, I just say this, that the Lord is God, and I will praise Him. Jesus is Lord. Just let that go into the atmosphere once in a while. You know? Lord, in Jesus' name, give us eyes to see. Yes, and ears to hear and hearts to understand. We sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, I want to see You. Those are the eyes that just got to open up because You're better. You're better than we know. And help us, Lord, to acknowledge, oh, this is even better, and this is even better, and this is even better. God is better. God is better. God is better, and He's bigger. Bigger. He's just bigger. And Jesus, You said, hey, I got this. Everything I've got. You're going to run into stuff. Just remember who's got it. Because in this world, there's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he can't have anything that's yours when you hand it to me. So, Lord, I just pray Your blessing. I pray Your blessing on everybody who isn't here. I pray Your blessing on everybody that is here. I pray Your blessing on everyone who has ears to hear. Because You're just so wonderful. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to just know You're more wonderful every day. You're more wonderful every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.